Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing correcting maladaptive relationship patterns. Now, if you are in a relationship and the relationship is struggling, you may want to take a look at your relationship patterns or habits. We are creatures of habit, and even when these habits and patterns are no longer serving us, we tend to hold on to them regardless of their inefficiency. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss how do we correct maladaptive relationships in a way that does not lead to chaos and sabotage to ourselves and to our relationships, lives, but rather enhances them and gives us the best chance at long-term sustainable relationship success. So to begin, you see very often relationships where partners genuinely want to change. They may even commit to changing. They may make behavioral changes, but with time, they'll fall back into old ways of being. And this can be extremely frustrating. Oftentimes, the intentions are good, but without the awareness of what it entails and what it truly takes to truly change our relationship patterns, we aren't going to be able to make those changes needed to create sustainable and healthy relationship intimacy. So first off, it's important to understand that everything that we do, no matter what it is, must serve us in some way, shape, or form, or we would not do it. So at the core of every action, every habit, every pattern is essentially an intention to meet a need of some sort. Now, even self-destructive or even abusive tendencies on some level, we believe that this is the best course of action for us and one that will meet our needs. So even if on some level, maybe in the conscious level, we understand that this pattern is not serving us, unless we have another and more healthy, sustainable option of relating, we're not going to necessarily be able to choose another option. Even if we do choose another option, eventually we will fall back to the maladaptive way of relating. So the blueprint for relationships is adopted and imprinted in our psyche early in childhood. So as we grow up throughout childhood, as we begin to relate to our primary caregivers, we learn about what we need to do in order to meet our needs. So if our primary caregivers were attuned, if they were selfless, if they were compassionate, if they were caring, then we learned that we will have our needs met in due time simply by expressing our needs, expressing ourselves, and ultimately we are worthy as we are of having our needs met by virtue of our existence. Now, if our primary caregivers were neglectful, exploitive, selfish, narcissistic, avoidant, addicted in any way, then what we learned is that we have to become manipulative, we have to gaslight our parents, our primary caregivers, we have to become controlling or even dramatic, and we had to become essentially something other than our authentic self to get our needs met. And the message in this instance that we received was that who we are as our authentic, vulnerable, and natural selves is not enough to survive. It's not acceptable and lovable as it is, and therefore we need to work to become something worthy of getting our needs met. So it's at this point in time that we develop these maladaptive relationship habits and patterns, and over the long run, they become cemented as our relationship patterns. And because of these experiences where our needs were not met, we start to develop a fear and lack-based mindset regarding our needs and feel that in order to survive in this world, we must become manipulative, gaslight, coerce, bully, people please. And we develop intense reactivity and defensiveness whenever our needs are threatened. So now when it comes to adult intimacy, this is arguably our most profound and fundamental basic need, the need for intimacy, the need for connection, the need for love. So many of our basic needs are going to be met through our intimate relationships. This is why our relationships are going to offer a perfect reflection of ways in which we show up to life, our beliefs, our habits, our relationship patterns, all the things we have regarding our needs and the ways in which we aim to meet our needs. Now, when there is a threat to our deep intimacy needs being met, we are going to act out much in the way that we learned early on towards our intimate partner. So we may, in this instance, people please, manipulate, abuse, or punish our partners when our needs are not met, much in the way that we anticipated or hoped. So what happens is we start to get reactive and act out towards our partner when our needs are not met, much in the same way we learned to act out in early childhood when our needs were going unmet. So the first step to correcting a relationship pattern, a faulty relationship pattern, is to observe yourself and self-reflect. It's essentially being open to feedback from others and from yourself, from your intuition, from your higher self, about ways in which you are relating, ways in which you show up to life. Now, this is tremendously difficult because no one really wants to be told, hey, you know, here's what you're doing, and this is hurting yourself and others, and ultimately it's not getting your needs met. That being said, when we do this, we can change. We cannot change unless we accept, and with acceptance is essentially the first step. And this takes a ton of humility, and when we accept the fact that how we show up to life and how we relate isn't necessarily serving us in our relationships, then we can learn about a new way. But until we accept that the way we are showing up is ineffective, then we are not going to be open to a new way of operating. So it's being open to the realization that there are other ways of doing things. There are alternate ways of relating that are more conducive and more sustainable and ultimately are going to actually get our needs met in a healthy and sustainable way. And with this, we can then be vulnerable and open to new ways of operating. And then when we have the option to choose the new way, then we lean into that new way of operating, the new healthier way. And if we continuously lean into a newer way, that becomes a new habit, that becomes a new pattern. Now, here's the thing. As mentioned, there is no such thing as a pointless habit. All of them served us at one point. They had a purpose. So when we decide to shame ourselves for having destructive habits, for having faulty habits, and when we beat ourselves up, essentially we're judging, we're not accepting ourselves. We're not accepting these patterns as how we show up to life. And you cannot reject yourself into healing. You cannot reject yourself into changing these patterns. We have to accept. When we are shaming and judging ourselves for the way we show up to life, if it's maladaptive, if it's faulty, if it's destructive, essentially this is coming from fear. And fear will only motivate you to do things in order to survive. So we want to start to show ourselves compassion and be kind and sensitive to our inner world and sort of befriend ourselves and realize that, hey, we're not our own enemy. Essentially, these ways of showing up were very necessary to survive. And only by accepting it with compassion can we begin to change. Now, it can be tremendously difficult, frustrating to deal with the parts of ourselves that are holding on to these patterns and these beliefs and these habits about how we need to meet our needs. They're usually stubborn and they're extremely attached in fear to ways of being because this is what was needed to do to survive. But what we need to understand is that these parts of ourselves are stuck in a place and in a time where they weren't terribly afraid of being vulnerable. And as a result of that, they adopted habits that were necessary at that time for survival. We want to do what we can to show ourselves gratitude to the parts of ourselves who essentially are still stuck in childhood. We want to show compassion for what they needed to do to survive. We want to appreciate the fact that they're just doing what they need to do in order to do to survive. And without them doing what they did, we would not be here today. So instead of making an enemy out of them, out of these parts of ourselves that are clinging to these patterns, when we do show compassion and accept these denied and shamed elements of self, we will be in a better position to gain the trust of our past self or these parts of ourselves, our child within, and this inner child will feel more inclined to then let go of these destructive and maladaptive ways of being in place of healthier ones. So when we gain the trust of our past hurt, wounded inner child, they will begin to trust us, and then they will be open to information, ways in which they can relate and operate, ways in which we will teach them, and they'll be more open to ways that are sustainable and conducive to ways of relating that are much more healthy in our intimate relationships. Another important thing to remember is that we are, who we are is more than just our traumas, or more than our faulty ways of being, or more than our relationship patterns, or more than our pain, our shame, our mistakes. We are so much more than what happened to us. We are so much more than the damage incurred. Who we are is not tied up to what we've done. And if we are in possession of these maladaptive relationship patterns, that does not make us any less of a person. If we have hurt ourselves and other people because of the faulty and maladaptive relationship patterns that we had to develop to survive, this does not make us any less worthy of getting our needs met. We were only doing the things we needed to do to survive. And for this, there really is no need to judge. Now, of course, if we have hurt other people with these patterns, there is a place for asking for forgiveness and making amends if possible. We're obviously still responsible for the damage we made because of the choices that we had to make, and ultimately there's consequences for our maladaptive relationship patterns, even though we needed to develop them. But we are the ones, essentially, who need our own forgiveness for hurting ourselves and others in this way. A lot of times we shame ourselves, and that shame binds us to the past, and it does not allow us to develop new ways of being. We sort of punish ourselves by keeping ourselves stuck. You know, when we regret what we've done, we are not using our mental energy in a productive way. Obviously, there's a healthy amount of acknowledging past mistakes, but this should only fuel us to do better the next time and to assure that we don't operate this way with these same patterns and habits that got us and others hurt. So shaming yourself, beating yourself up, and not showing yourself forgiveness for how you've shown up to life is essentially rejecting and not accepting the parts of ourselves that need acceptance in order to heal, to integrate, and to develop healthier patterns. Now, intimate relationships that are successful, people who are successful in intimacy, are usually continuously self-reflecting. This is for both partners. They're self-reflecting and self-correcting, and they're allowing for each other to offer compassionate and non-judgmental feedback in a sensitive way so that each partner could become more aware of and then take responsibility for changing patterns and habits that are no longer needed and are not healthy. And these include learning ways in which we communicate that are demanding, harsh, critical, and uninviting, and creating space through healthy and compassionate communication that opens the doorway for our partner to meet our needs without feeling threatened, right? And this safety offered through nonviolent and compassionate and empathic sensitive communication allows for continuous growth for partners, which essentially allows for intimacy to be sustainable over time instead of defensiveness, stonewalling, and ultimately relationships breaking down because of these patterns of demanding or harsh criticism when their needs are not met. So Martha Beck is credited with coining the quote, very popular quote, "How you do anything is how you do everything." So how we show up in one way can give us insights as how we show up to every other element of life. So when we correct relationship patterns and we show up differently than we have before, instead of reactively, right, we're doing things calm, in a calm way and present, we're more present. Instead of clingy or controlling, when we show up more allowing, more in the flow and more accepting. Instead of showing up hiding, we show up vulnerable and authentic. Instead of showing up in fear, we do things with compassion and love. When we shift out of our old ways of being into new, healthier ways, all things begin to improve. So when we correct our inner world, which happens most notably through our intimate relationships, when we do that, we begin to show up more at peace and as our true self. And this improves our relationships on all levels, in every field. And when this happens, we begin to succeed at everything, because how we do one thing, the most personal thing, our intimate relationships, how we show up in our intimate relationships, if we can correct that, then chances are we'll be able to correct all our relationships. And once this happens, we begin to experience success in every element of our lives, business, family, career, friendships, and all of life begins to improve as a result. So to conclude, there are so many people who are struggling to change their life, and in many ways, they're not aware of their patterns of relating. And because so much of our life and our happiness, our joy, our success, our abundance is dependent on our relationships, if we want to have healthy relationships, we have to have healthier relationship patterns. So we want to open up to the growth mindset, which is that we are always going to want to work on and continuously get better at relating, because if we do that, our relationships will improve, and then every element of our life improves as a result. And there's no more important relationship that we want to improve, which is essentially the one that leads to all other relationships, which is the one with ourselves. So when we treat ourselves with compassion, when we're present in our own life, when we're there for ourselves, we're asserting ourselves, when we become whole, we integrate the inner child, when we meet our own needs, and we speak to ourselves in a kind and sensitive way, suddenly all of our other relationships begin to improve because we start to offer that same compassion and care towards other people. And as a result of that, our relationships improve. And that is truly how we uplift our life in every single element. Thank you all so very much for listening to today's podcast episode. Until next time, all the best.